Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Hey everybody, it's Loveline. This is Dr. Drew. Joining us tonight, Godsmack. Sully, Shannon, how are you guys?
Very well.
The new CD came out just like a week ago, or not even that, right? About a week
ago.
Yeah, Godsmack 4, already number one on the Billboard Top 200 albums, right? Amazing.
Cool.
Second time that's happened to you guys, right?
Yeah, the last one came out at number one, luckily.
That's huge.
Huge.
Yes,
nice. We beat Bruce Springsteen this week. That's huge.
Well done. Huge. They'll be on Last Call with Carson Daly on May 10th. Let's see, you guys have a VH1 show coming up, too.
Yep.
And then tour North America. Does the U.S. or North America include, like...
We're just going to do Canada and Alaska to start.
Excellent. Why not?
And then September, we hit the States.
Do you have a tour? You have a tour schedule yet, or...?
Yeah, well, June through, like, August, we're international. Japan, South America, Mexico.
That's going to be crazy.
September, we start America, and we...
Oh, you're right now going international tour.
Yeah, in June.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to start Canada and then head out, get the rest of the world out of the way.
We need you guys up on the mics.
Right into the mics. Like, facing, there you go.
Get on the mic,
there
Mike.
There you go. Hey, these guys are musicians. Come on, Anderson, relax.
I told you in your ear like three times, Drew, but I don't think you can hear me.
No, I can hear you. We don't have an engineer in here.
That's aft.
Yeah, now for me to change things, I'd have to get over and reach over the
microphone. Right, so here. You don't have to do that. Just get them on their mics.
Here's the deal. I was looking at them, and they both had their mouths directly on the mic. That's why I didn't say anything myself. So it's the levels here. Let's take some calls, shall we? Guys, ready?
Sure.
Are we talking more about the album? Tell me about it.
Let's do this.
All right, take some calls. This is Rebecca. Rebecca, what's up?
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Rebecca, what's happening?
I had a question. I've been married for about 2 years, and for about the last year, whenever I have sex with my husband, it stings like razor blades.
Nice.
Yeah, and I went to the doctor.
Welcome back to Loveline. Godsmack. It's been about 4 years since you guys have been here, hasn't it? Been about 4 years?
Yeah.
At least a faceless 3 years.
Yeah, about 3 years.
3 or 4 years. All right, hurts like razor blades every time she has sex with her husband. Gentlemen?
Yeah.
Is he got a gigantic one?
No, not that big, but it's big enough.
Does it hurt when you pee afterwards?
No, nothing else hurts. The doctor said nothing's wrong with me.
How long ago were you examined?
A week ago.
Have you ever been with other dudes?
Just my boyfriend before that, but this is just a new problem.
So it didn't hurt before?
No, nothing was wrong and nothing's changed. So.
At what point does it start to hurt? Immediately?
After just a couple minutes.
Like 2 minutes?
Sure, yeah.
And can you actually see anything there afterwards?
No, it just stings.
Just stings. Are you on birth control pill?
I've been on Depo for 6 years.
Oh, that's what does this. Because the progesterone, you have a little bit of a dryness problem too, maybe?
Not really.
Well, I think if you've been on the damn Depo shop for so long, you probably don't remember. But I will sometimes give women an estrogen suppository, a vaginal suppository, to correct this. Because a lot of doctors don't sort of think about this one, but I'm telling you, this really makes a huge difference, that the progesterone-dominant birth control devices or pills, so there's no estrogen in their system, makes for a sort of a dryness and irritation of the vaginal lining. So if you give them a suppository of estrogen, it restores things back to their supple newness.
Wow.
You guys look very interested. You guys are like,
no,
really?
I'm just wondering how that could, like, is it create, like, an irritation?
It creates what's called an atrophic vaginitis. The vagina, the tissue to be sort of supple, needs estrogen. And all that progesterone from the shot, she's talking about the Depo Provera shot for birth control, can make it kind of irritable. So there you go, Rebecca. You got to talk to your doctor about something called Vagifem that's good for that, all right?
Okay, thank you.
All right, good luck. Wow, this is... welcome back, Dustin.
Yeah.
What's happening?
I'm sorry?
On the air. What's your question,
Hello?
Dustin? Yes, sir.
Hi. My girlfriend wants to pose nude for a website on the internet. I'm trying to decide whether I should just deal with it or if I should try to talk her out of it, because I really have a problem with it, and she knows I do.
What's the website?
Website is Suicide Girls.
I never heard of it. I tell her to stay away from Metal Sludge.
What's that? What is that?
Well, it's like a groupie hangout.
No, it's more of like kind of goth chicks.
Tattooed chicks and the such. I've seen it.
It's like erotica versus more, because there's no, like, you know, they don't spread open and they don't do all the gross stuff. But it's still naked
they
girls.
They have hairy armpits. Still, that's gross stuff.
It's still naked girls, and I still have a problem with, like, a bunch of guys looking at my girlfriend naked. You know what I'm saying?
What's up with her that she feels like this is a good idea?
I'm not sure. Like, she has a fantastic relationship with her parents. And I think, like, because she has a couple of friends who pose on there.
Ah.
So I think that's probably the biggest about it, is that she wants to be like her friends.
Hmm. Should we give her a call?
I don't know that she'd answer.
All right. Well, let the screeners work on that with you. Maybe we get her on the phone and see what's going on. Now, Nicole, what's happening?
Hello?
Hey, Nicole. You're on the air. What's up?
Yes. After I have sex and stuff, it like starts, my vagina starts itching and throbbing and stuff, and it hurts really bad.
Gentlemen, it's two.
Huh? What?
You don't want to be there.
Are you not lubricated?
I don't think I am.
You don't think
so? No, she sort of thinks about that as a bad thing. Do you produce the sort of adequate amounts of fluid, is what he's saying?
Yes.
Yes.
Hmm.
Have you ever had herpes?
No.
Do you guys go at it for a long time before that pain develops?
Yes.
How long?
About an hour.
Okay. Cut it down to about 10 minutes total, and I think you'll find the itching and burning might go away, okay?
Okay.
That's more than your poor body can handle, you understand?
Yes.
It's way, some women can handle it, and some women like that, but most, that is way, way longer than you were designed for. Got it?
Yeah, I have another question, too.
Of course.
When I'm having sex, I like to urinate.
Nice.
Is that common?
Gentlemen?
Not with me.
No.
That would hurt.
You sure it's urine and not ejaculate? Like a female ejaculation?
I'm pretty sure it's urine.
What makes you think?
Because you can smell it. It's like pee. You can, like, smell it.
Smells like pee. Have you ever had a baby?
No.
All right. You know, there is such a thing as orgasmic incontinence, and I had a conversation last time about this with a girl, and normally that occurs in people that have had children or having sort of incontinence when they sneeze and cough and that kind of thing, and they can really unload during sex. This, more often than not, is actually not urine. It's something from the glands around the vagina.
Huh.
So that's probably what she's talking about. But she seems very maybe I'll just cool out on sex altogether, Nicole. You're young, awfully young, and come on. Andrea, what's happening?
I got some major issues here. Me and my boyfriend have been together for 6 months, and he has fantasies of other women, and so I allow him to sleep with other women, but I don't engage in anything. As long as I'm there, I allow it to happen, and I don't know why.
So Godsmack, gentlemen, Sully, Shannon. She sits around while her boyfriend has sex with strange women. Do you know these girls? It's your husband or boyfriend?
It's just my boyfriend.
Oh, just your
boyfriend. I wonder, the first thing that comes to my mind is about maybe your own self-esteem.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. What's
like
that?
I like other women, too, but a lot of them aren't into other women like I am, so...
Do you feel like you're not pleasing your man anymore, and so you're trying to keep him into you, so you allow him to have sex with other girls?
Oh, no, I please him. He says I'm the best he's ever had. It's just, I don't know, I don't want to lose him, and I feel like men will cheat on their women, and so I figure as long as I know about it, it's not cheating.
Are you guys sober when this goes on?
Good question.
Huh?
Are you sober when this happens?
Yes.
Sober? They're loaded immediately following, but during the act, they're sober.
Sometimes, yeah. Not all the time, but yeah,
see?
Sometimes.
You use protection?
Yes.
He wears a condom.
That's good.
Yes.
He wears a condom.
Does this have anything to do with...
your sexual
abuse?
I've
been diagnosed bipolar. And,
yeah, but how old were you when you were sexually abused?
It started at 5, 6, and 7.
Magical how I knew that. Magical. Mm-hmm. And it must have been somebody very close in your family. Who was it?
My father.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
He made me jack him off. I didn't do anything else.
Well, just that. Well, whose dad doesn't do that? I mean, that's...
Is that...
Yeah. Yeah, that's awful. That's awful, awful. And Andrea, is he still alive?
Yes.
Have you reported this?
No.
So God knows what other kids he's doing this to. Imagine, this is what he does to his own daughter. Imagine what he does to other kids.
I know, and I have two children, and I have never allowed them to be with my son.
Of course not. Of course not.
How old are you?
25.
How old is he?
My dad?
Mm.
He's 61.
I don't know. Being a dad myself now to a four-year-old girl, I can't even fathom that thought. That's one that goes...
How do I deal with this?
You need some treatment, Andrew. This is a mess.
Yeah, I don't know if I would stay with the boyfriend that's banging the other girl right in front of
you,
too.
This whole thing, your feelings about men, your expectations about men, what you're attracted to in men, because the abusive, a-hole, sexually predatory father is going to make you attracted to that kind of guy. You must get some kind of treatment, Andrew. It's amazing you're not a drug addict, too, are you?
I am,
yes. Yeah, I was going to say, fleshes this out very nicely. So
I went to treatment for methamphetamines, and I have been clean for a year, but I still smoke marijuana.
Yeah, here's what you got to do. you need to get into a program, get into 12-step, go live in a sober living somewhere, and get things much more simple.
Every time I do that, I get with a man, though. Listen
to other people's direction. Listen to what the sponsor tells you. Listen to the house director. Okay. You are headed for disaster on the road you're on. This is a bad situation, okay?
Okay.
Just focus on sobriety. Focus on 12-step. In the process of that, it's free. In the process of that, a lot of these other things will sort of, hopefully, God willing, take hold. But if not, you need to get some specific treatment also. That's sort of expensive, though. Val, what's your question, Val?
Oh, Val.
Megan, what's your question?
I want to know if there's another way of handling depression without a medication.
Well, yeah, there are lots of other ways. Gentlemen?
Jeez, I wouldn't know where to start with this one. I'm depressed every day.
No, you're not.
I am.
You're just depressed after that huge half a lamb you just ate.
Yeah, my thyroid gland has been over. Depression, you know, I think for me it starts with just finding an outlet that's, you know, that's creative and fun, whether it's, for me, obviously it's music, but I've been around that my whole life. I think it starts with just trying to find something you really enjoy doing and making that, like, somewhat of an addiction without it being harmful.
A passion.
I don't mean drugs and alcohol. I mean, yeah, like, whether it's art or gymnastics or motorcycle riding or, yeah. I mean, who knows what it is. There's got to be something in your life that you really love doing that maybe you haven't done as much as you want to, traveling.
And some literature suggests that just going out on a walk, having structure in your day, listening to classical music, all of these things help, keeping important people around you. And then if that isn't sufficient, talking therapies can help. And then finally, if you're thinking about harming yourself, then you pretty much have to take medication or else go in a hospital.
It's already got to that point.
All right. The depression is a 20% fatality rate. I mean, if I named any other condition, I said 1 out of 5 people are going to die of this. You go, oh, take your medicine, whatever. Well, that's the case. It kills young people all the time. So, Megan, it's time to go in a hospital and get this taken care of, all right?
Yeah, and I had another question.
Yeah.
Is it possible to be diagnosed with a hyper disorder and a depression disorder?
You mean bipolar?
No, I don't know that. My doctor has diagnosed me with a hyper disorder, ADHD, and a depression disorder.
Yeah, you can have both. But to me, that just adds up again to addict, alcoholic. So be careful.
All right.
That's what that's. You have a parent that's an addict or an alcoholic?
Yeah, my dad.
Yeah, so you inherited that. That's what that is.
I'll tell you another thing, too, that I've discovered recently through this book that I read called Many Lives, Many Masters. It's by a guy named Dr. Brian Weiss. It is actually a book about this guy that does this hypnotherapy with his patient and what he gets through this patient and discovers actually helps him through his own life or whatever. And people for a while now have been doing this like regression therapy, because what it does is it kind of, it gets you back to...
Unfortunately, it doesn't stand up to scientific scrutiny. If somebody's about to kill themselves, I mean, somebody has a 20% chance of dying, they got to do what's traditional.
Yeah.
They just got to do it. I mean, this her. She's too close to dying right now. You don't do regression therapies then.
It's not that bad anymore. I mean, it was like a year and a half ago.
Here's the deal. Women, fathers give rise to depressed daughters. And you have a 50% chance of inheriting his genes for addiction. The fact that you have ADD, ADHD suggests you have that gene. What, are you smoking a lot of pot now or something?
No.
Do you do drugs or alcohol?
No.
Okay. Don't start. Because you probably have that gene. Just go get the depression treated, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, my goodness. Jay.
Hello?
Hey, what's happening, Jay?
Not much. I just had a weird question to ask. My friend is throwing signs at me, and he's a guy, and I've never been with the guy, and I don't know if he's just throwing wrong signs. You know what I mean?
So you've just been with a guy for the first time? Is that what you're saying?
I have never been with a guy, and I've only been with women, but this guy is just throwing me signs, and I don't know if it's just, you know, he's gay. I don't know.
But are you?
How do you feel about the guy?
I know him all my life. You know
what I mean? Attracted to him physically?
Somewhat, yeah.
So are you gay?
No. I'm to be curious, I don't know.
Well, try it.
So but you haven't been with a man yet, is that what you're saying?
No, I haven't.
But you have thoughts about it.
Yeah, I have thoughts. And this guy's the only guy that I have had thoughts.
That's you, all about. You know.
No, you're the doctor, you figure it out from here.
I know it's kind of weird.
Do you have a girlfriend?
I'm dating.
Dating. And you've had thoughts about guys. Were you sexually abused growing up?
No.
And have you always been thinking about guys?
Only him. Only that
Are
one.
Are you trendy? Do you follow trends?
No, not at all.
I was thinking maybe the whole Brokeback Mountain thing, he's just trying to, like, be hip.
So it's
no,
not
just
the...
Whatever he, you know, he...
And what was this clue this guy gave you? What did he do exactly?
He's just, like, the things that turn me on from girls, he's doing that turns me on.
What did he do?
What did he do?
Exactly. We can't sit through that. He said basically that he effing friend looked at him when effing girl looks at him.
Is there a delay on this?
Yeah, but okay. he keeps going like that, it doesn't work.
You only get so many beeps per show.
Exactly. It resets and then you're screwed. Look, Jay, if you're gay, fine, fantastic. I don't know what you want from us. I enjoy. You've been thinking about it for a while. This guy particularly, even better. It's somebody you really like. Fabulous. Michelle.
Hello.
What's up? You're on with Godsmack.
Hi. I don't know. I just have, like, I'm, like, confused. I'm, like, 14, and I just don't know if I'm, like, ready to have, like, sex or not. Like, I think I'm ready.
No, you're not.
Yeah, let's take a poll in the room.
No.
14 or ever sex?
No.
Corey?
You're not even close.
100%. Like, a guy across the hall there. Hey, guys in the peanut gallery? No.
Yay!
Michelle, please, dear God, no. Do not do this.
Don't do
Save
it.
Save yourself, girl.
From
yourself.
You know what? And no matter what kind of pressure your friends put on you, I'm telling you right now, as a rock guy, as a cool rock and roll star guy, it is not cool to have sex that young. It's way cooler when you meet a girl that's confident and you meet a boy that treats you good, and when the time is right and you're in maybe your early 20s or something, then go for it.
Okay.
And just Michelle, here's
go have fun. Go to arcades and go to the mall and, you know, buy cool clothes and
okay.
You have a long way to go.
Okay, thanks. Like, a lot.
One of the things that research has shown is that your brain really isn't developed to the point to handle the feelings associated with this at such a young age. It's not good for you. It will harm you. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. Want to hear a song?
Sure.
It's your Godsmack song, yes?
Yes.
Yes. What do we got? Tell us about it.
It's the first single off Godsmack 4. We chose it because we just felt it was a very rounded song. It shows a lot of diversity and kind of what Godsmack is about. And we just had, this actually became our number 13th top 10 single, and we hold some kind of record now.
Wow.
We beat Metallica and
Fabulous.
Whoever else had it, so yay.
Nice. Here comes Godsmack. Speak. Godsmack speak. Godsmack 4 is the name of the CD. It's the number one on Billboard Top 200 album chart. Gentlemen, Sully, Shannon, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
We're going to take a little quick break here when we get back. Blah, blah, blah. Cheating, girlfriend. A lot of band questions. Let's get some of those on after we get back. Everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Sully and Shannon from Godsmack in here tonight. They're going out on a world tour back in the U.S.
Yeah.
In September. And very quickly here, I know we take some band calls, but first I want to get Jordan here. Jordan, you got what's your question?
Hi, I was wondering. I've walked in a few times after school on my sister fingering herself.
A few times?
Yeah, it's really weird.
And you walk into her room?
Yeah, well, she leaves her door like kind of open, like, and I'm kind of like afterwards, I kind of like try to like consider like she's a person, and I know people do that, but.
You try to talk yourself down from it.
Yeah, I try to, like, ignore what I see.
Yeah, that's rough. Are you having bad dreams or anything because of it? Are you feeling okay?
Well, it's kind of, like, awkward. I mean, like, it's just awkward. I've never mentioned it to her.
Does she know you saw her?
No.
Oh, she doesn't even know. Well,
I think there's a pretty subtle way to maybe bring it up to her without having to get graphic, so maybe she shuts her door.
Just say I accidentally walked in on you, sis. Why don't you shut your door when you're doing that? Unless it's the actual thrill of maybe getting caught that she leaves the door open.
Maybe. You had an interesting experience, yes? Can you talk about it?
Oh, yeah. I walked in on my father going down on my mother when I was a young kid.
How?
And it was very traumatizing.
How old were you?
I was like seven or eight,
yeah.
And I was very sick, so I'd gotten up out of my bed late at night.
Oh, my God.
Went downstairs and,
oh,
you know.
You wanted mom to comfort you.
Right.
Did they see you?
Mom was
getting
comforted.
No, they didn't see me, and I never, ever mentioned it to this day.
Oh, my God. Well, tonight, maybe, they may be finding out.
Just so you know, people do walk in on loved ones doing,
I was 10, I walked in on my mom and her boyfriend, and my mom, you know, she's a fairly... good-sized woman, and it was traumatizing, man. I was so upset that my mother told me that I went in my room and I got my suitcase and I packed my Halloween mask and my blanket and I told her I was running away forever. But the problem was I couldn't cross the street, so I could only go as far as the corner.
Oh, you actually went all the way outside?
Yeah, she let me sit there for about 5 minutes.
So she was aware why you were all upset?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I opened the door and I said, whoa, what's up?
Well, that's 10. My sister, she's really, like, religious.
Yeah.
And, I'm kind of, like, thinking she's being a little, hypocritical, kind of.
How?
Like, I don't know, like, she's just, like, really uptight. Like, she gets, like, she thinks, like, she tells me that, like, boys are, like, weird and everything, but...
Hypocritical? Was she using a crucifix?
What?
Yeah, I mean, you know, masturbation isn't bad, you know that, so...
How old is your sister?
16. Hmm.
And Jordan, that's normal behavior. Thank God she's not doing stuff with boys, that she is sort of keeping to herself, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I know it's very disturbing and weird, and it's a boundary violation, and it's got to be upsetting to you. But I think I might just chalk this one up to experience and see as you grow up if you can sort of put it away. And if you can't, again, as you get a little older, maybe bring it up with her or maybe even joke with her about it.
Yeah, I probably will.
Yeah, at least get her to shut her door.
I don't know that you can do much with this, really, other than just let it go. If you have post-traumatic stress reaction, you have nightmares and panic attacks, that kind of thing, well, you got to go get treated. That's not your sister's problem either. But she's doing what she's doing. She's not getting an STD. She's not violating her values by being with guys. She's just doing what happens to people. It's all right. Let's quickly finish up with Dustin here. Dustin had the girlfriend that wanted to pose for, what's the name of that porn site?
Suicide Girls.
Suicide Girls,
right?
Yeah, Godsmack knows all about them.
Tattoo
well,
girls.
Well, like I said, it's not like gross porn. It's not like she's having sex with other people on camera or anything like that. It's just, she's still getting naked, and it's still accessible to anyone who's got a credit card. You know what I'm saying? So,
is it because you feel threatened by it?
Right. If this is your insecurity issue, then would you want your girl to be a playmate?
I don't. I don't think that, because like 2 years ago, not even 2 years ago, like a year ago, she would have been creeped out by the thought of posing naked for anyone. Like,
really? What has happened in the last couple of years?
She's moved Francisco. I'm actually in the process of moving to San Francisco with her. And she's started hanging out with some different people. And that's the first I can figure that's making her want to do this, you know, because she's not like the typical stripper syndrome where she has a horrible dad or anything like that. It's just...
It's funny you say that, though. I just thought of that myself. I think that's really common with a lot of guys that I know that date strippers. Like, at first, they want to be with because they're so hot or whatever. Then they don't want them to dance anymore.
Right, of course.
Right,
so,
right. And when I first met her, the idea of getting naked, she wouldn't even pose naked for pictures for me. I asked her a couple of times, and she was uncomfortable with the thought. And now she's posing. She wants to pose naked for the pictures on the Internet. That's kind of a 180.
And when you bring these issues up with her, does she have a reasonable response, or it's just whatever?
It's kind of just whatever. It's kind of it's even got to the point where she's like, well, I'm going to take the pictures, and you just need to deal with it.
How old is she?
She's 20.
Yeah, I actually agree with her, except I would say, Dustin, the fact that she does not have any concern for how it affects you. And the fact that she does choose to do this does mean something, and that's probably what's freaking you out more than anything. It's she's saying something about who she is, that's fine. This thing may be over. It's sad, but it is, and you do have to deal with it or not. And she is making her choice, and that's it. You know, it's up to her now.
So you just think that if I want to keep this alive and I don't want to end it over something kind of trivial like this.
I don't think this is something trivial at all. I think it says very substantial about her, and something is happening in her, and there's something you don't know about her. I don't know what it is, but there's something up here. And we'll see. Time will tell. You can hang out for a while, see how it goes. But she is just blowing you off. She doesn't care. She's acting out. This is called an acting out behavior. And, you know, there's going to be more acting out ahead. So see how it goes down. All right?
All right. Thank you so much,
Dr. Jim. Good luck, guys. All right, this is Harrison.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
Yeah, not much, man. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Cool.
And it's kind of a two-part question, actually. My first question is, to Shannon and Sully. I mean, visually, how you guys play the kit, just like, you know, just watching you guys is so energetic, man. It's just like... It's astounding how you guys can play like that and stuff like that. So I was kind of wondering, where did you guys develop that style, you know? Or, like, you know, where did you draw that influence from?
Funny, me, I wanted to be Angus Young on the drums when I first started playing from AC/DC, you know?
Yeah.
It seemed to me like every drummer just sat there and played the drums and looked bored doing it most times. So I wanted to be the opposite of that.
Yeah, my influence was Animal from the Muppets. He was really energetic. I think me and Shannon both had very similar influences anyways between John Bonham and Neil Peart. And, you know, I know Shannon was really into Keith Moon. And Shannon's right. You know, he's got a great point. It's just about, you know, a lot of drummers kind of just sit there and they play. And it's not really the focus of the band. And I know when I first seen Shannon, he's extremely animated and really fun to watch. And that actually rubbed off on me, too, to want to even take my performance up a little bit more and be a little bit more animated and visual when I played. So it's really cool. Like, his band, Wrathchild America, before he was with, you know, the... series of bands that he was in before he got to us, they were one of those bands that you could watch each individual member and enjoy the show. It wasn't just like about the singer or the bass player or the drummer. It was like all of them had a really cool stage presence, and I just thought that's the way to go.
Yeah, Wrathchild kicks ass. And my other part of the question was that I actually play in a hard rock band myself, actually. And I do use double bass quite a bit, but they're wanting me to kind of, you know.
Oh, boy.
Make it facts, Harrison. Here we go.
I know. Thanks a lot, Anderson. Anyway, basically, I was kind of wondering how to, get faster, you know, and still maintaining that balance as well as not, like, you know, going all over the place.
But just start slow, man. Start slow. And I would always just put a clock by my drum kit and go at one tempo for, say, 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, invest in a metronome. They're real cheap. Stay with the click.
Yeah, and then, you know, after 5 minutes or so, and then move that metronome up a beat or two, and then, you know, it'll come.
This is Natasha. What's up? What's going on, Natasha?
Not a whole lot. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Good.
You sound like you're having fun.
Yeah, she's laughing at something.
Oh, I saw you guys play at the Salem Armory a couple years back. You are awesome.
Oh, the Salem Armory.
Yes.
Salem, Mass?
Salem, Oregon.
Oregon.
Salem. Oh, Oregon.
Yes.
Cool. Thank you.
My friend, she had a lot of anal sex, and she told me that it had caused her to not get pregnant when she had, like, regular sex, and I was wondering if that was true or could actually cause that much damage.
Gentlemen?
I would say no. But then again,
no.
I'm not, you know.
I can't imagine how it would cause infertility. I'm trying to, in fact, it could protect against infertility problems. That's the one maybe possible benefit to this whole thing. You're not going to get STDs up the upper genital tract that way. But I can't think of any way, even a rectovaginal fistula, which is an abscess that forms between the wall.
A fish, that's so funny.
We were just talking about that.
And it can actually connect between the vagina and the rectum. But even that wouldn't, you know, screw up fertility too badly. So good time, Natasha. Who is this dear friend of yours?
She's like an old friend from, like, way back.
Nice. Well, she didn't get pregnant because she's got something else going on, right?
I guess.
Yeah, I doubt it knocked anything out of place.
Gleeful about the infertility. Nice. Natalie?
Hi, Dr.
Hey there.
Drew.
Hey.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, I'm in the situation of I've had 6 treatments of shock therapy. I've been on every medication there is.
Are you better?
No, I'm not better. What they give me to function is 90 milligrams of Adderall in the morning and 1,000 milligrams of Seroquel to go to sleep.
Wow.
And I was wondering, what is your opinion? Where could I possibly go from here without a lobotomy?
They're not recommending lobotomy to you, right?
No, they're not. They're recommending more shock treatment, but
maintenance shock therapy, because usually it's a series of 6.
Yeah, I had my first 6 treatments when I was 15.
Oh boy!
And at this point, I can't do it again because the amnesia was so bad.
Mm-hmm. It makes you forgetful for a while. The old people, the forgetfulness can be quite prolonged.
I didn't even think they did shock therapy.
It's actually a pretty common therapy now for people that do not respond to anything and who are life-threateningly ill. I remember thinking about killing themselves all the time. And it works. It works really, really well. Not in Natalie's case. It just raises the chemical. They paralyze the patient. They put them under anesthesia. They run electrical current through the brain, which causes a seizure of their brain tissue, which releases all these chemicals. And when they come out of it, their mood's better.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's the same thing as the medication, just doing it with electrical current instead of medication.
It worked for about 2 years, I'd say, but I felt like a zombie.
Initially, you felt like a zombie, but afterwards, that wears off rather quickly.
Yeah. What treatment options are there? I mean, should I just continue to take these wild amounts
Natalie, I don't know your case. I mean, it's impossible to. I mean, that's ridiculous for me to even be. It's irresponsible for me to begin to make a comment. But I will tell you that other kinds of interventions would include, you know, intensive interpersonal and individual experiences and a long-term structured environment. That kind of thing, you know, going away for residential kinds of treatment for long periods of time, if you're highly motivated, sometimes can be useful. But, boy, you should be talking to people and exploring treatment options. Jay, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good.
Question for Godsmack. And by the way, you guys put on a wicked live show, too. I had a chance to see you guys live there.
That's what we're hearing a lot of people say.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a wicked show. I just want to know, what was it like to have the chance to play Woodstock 99? What was that like?
It was really amazing. Unfortunately, we had came off a red eye after touring for so many years, and our tour was just ending on the Ozfest, so we were a little bit out of it when we got to New York. But, you know, as soon as we hit that stage and seen 250,000 people out there, it woke us up real quick. So it was to me, one of the most memorable shows we played just because I had never seen that volume of people before.
Mm. Wow.
Hey, are you Canadian?
Yes, I am, actually. I live in Toronto. Well, I live about an hour away from Toronto. I live in a place called Barrie.
I can hear the accent. We'll be coming through there in June.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, June 10th we start our Canadian tour, so I think it's Quebec and then Montreal, Toronto, London, and so on and so forth.
And we know what rock is about up there.
It's all about it.
All right, Jay.
Yeah, I guess South Park kind of screwed me up that way, didn't they?
Yeah, it screwed us all up.
Very funny. Got to take another break. Godsmack, Shannon, Sully are in here tonight. The CD is called Godsmack 4. They're going out in a North American tour in August and then States tour stateside in September. Yeah. We're going to take a little break. Be right back.
It's round. It's round. It's round.
There we go. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. That sure woke us up. Those of us in the studio here, we're hearing Lance, who's one of our screamers, doing a homage to, I don't know who, but
Quiet Riot.
Yeah, he's Quiet Riot.
Dawkins.
Very nice. Very nice.
You call him a screamer, but he's really a screener, but he was screaming. You're right.
It strikes our ear harshly when it comes to. All right, this is Sarah. What's up, Sarah? Sarah?
Yes.
Hey, there you are. What's your question?
Okay. First of all, I think you guys are great. I love Godsmack. Sully, you're very hot.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I saw you guys play once, but it was wonderful. Anyways, my question is, my boyfriend is in rehab right now. He's going to be in there for 90 days for a heroin addiction that we both have. However, his parents sent him to rehab, and I was put on the drug called Suboxone. But I didn't get any kind of like counseling or anything. So
Are you still on the Suboxone?
No, I stopped because I relapsed.
You're on heroin. Yeah, Suboxone just does not work. I mean, give me a break.
It took away all the withdrawal symptoms.
Yes, but it's not meant to be a maintenance medication, or at least it shouldn't be used as a maintenance medicine.
Well, yeah.
And you do not stop heroin without treatment. You just don't. So,
don't.
Sarah, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. So, what are we going to do about you?
Well, the thing is, I'm now cheating on my boyfriend with our heroin dealer, and so I'm getting it for free.
Whore, slut, bitch.
What?
Nothing. It's Anderson. What's up?
I want to be honest with him and tell him what I'm doing, but I don't want to ruin.
Look, this is all part of your disease. You're going to die of this thing in short order. If you want to live, let's go get treatment. You're on your way. This is the hair. People do not live to see 40, certainly not 50, if they're not in recovery by 30.
Yeah.
From heroin.
Yeah. Well,
we actually have one of our loved ones here that went through some serious, serious times. Our tour manager's here. You don't mind me saying that, do I? Okay, cool. Yeah, and he's, 19 years now or 20?
22, he told me.
22 years sober, and he was full-on addict.
So it can be done is the moral of that.
Yeah, it can be done. I treat drug addicts all day long, Sarah. But you have to decide to do it. And in order to get well, you have to understand and believe you're going to die of this thing. Yeah. If you allow the disease to color your thinking and to be can maintain the sort of motivational priority that it has in your life, you're going to die.
And I'll tell you what's... Is it Sarah?
Sarah.
Yeah.
Being a musician too, we see a lot, not that we do it, but we see a lot of people that are involved in this kind of stuff. It is an ugly, ugly way to go out.
Everybody dies or ends up in jail.
It's ugly, man. Your teeth rot. It's just not a pretty way to go. There's no happy ending to this story.
And here's the deal. The sex you're having is part of your disease. It's not that you're a cheater. I'm cheating with a guy. No, your brain thinks it's going to die without heroin, so it'll do anything to get the drug, including prostituting yourself, which is basically what you're doing now. So here you go. Thank God your boyfriend's getting better. Hopefully he'll survive.
As far as that goes, tell him.
Let's do something about says you're living in Irvine. Hogue has a good addiction treatment program. Head on over to Hogue at Newport and get going.
Did you just call me a prostitute?
Yeah, you're prostituting yourself for heroin.
Well,
you're having sex so the guy gives you heroin for free. That's what heroin addicts do.
What else would you call it?
It's survival. Your brain doesn't believe it can survive without heroin, so it will do anything, including destroying your relationship, compromising yourself, doing whatever it has to do to get the heroin. Now, let's go get treatments and stop all this. It's your disease. It's not you. It's your disease causing this.
And if your boyfriend truly does get better, keep this in mind. He may come out a different person. And if you really care about him and love him, you know, he may be going on a different path and you may not understand it unless you're there with him.
Well, I want to be there with him. You get a start, too.
If you're using, he comes out, he's using, too. He will relapse immediately.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened last time. He went.
Of course.
And then we relapsed, but...
Well, let's go. So Hoag is right down the road there. They got a good program, okay? That's not where he is it?
No, he's not.
Perfect. Head on down there, and let's get this taken care of. This is ridiculous. You're gonna die, Sarah. We want you to live. And you're going to endanger your boyfriend's life, too. Dylan.
Hey, what's up, man?
We're good. You're on with Godsmack.
All right, so I got a question.
Shoot.
Okay. So my girlfriend, she died about 6 months ago. And I just recently got a dog about 3 months ago. And my dog's been, like, humping me like crazy, and it's been kind of pissing me off. And I recently went to a pet psychic, and they said that my dog was reincarnated as my girlfriend. And I've been kind of thinking about doing my dog.
Oh, jeez, dude. Rethink that. Just rethink it. Bestiality is not cool. It went out in the 80s.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow, I don't even know.
I'll tell you what.
If you ever have a top 10 best,
you like him?
That's one.
We'll keep you on hold. Dylan, I want you to stay on hold for a second. We got to take a little break here. But I want you to give you an A for effort. A. You get an outstanding grade for creativity and thoughtfulness and entertainment value, for Godsmack. Clearly, these guys
that
like
that was
it.
Entertainment.
The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. It's Godsmack. The CD is Godsmack 4. We're going to hear more songs off it when we return. Loveline. Everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Got Godsmack in here with us. Got some interesting calls. We'll go back to Dylan, the, what should we nickname
the
Dylan?
The dog lover.
The dog lover, that's right. Dylan.
What? Oh, yeah, what's up?
Oh, yeah, that's you. Yeah. So, your girlfriend's been reincarnated as your new dog? What possessed you to see a dog psychic?
There was a grand opening at Pet Club. They had free sessions as a pet psychic.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sure, go.
What kind of dog do you have?
A golden retriever.
Oh, okay.
They're pretty. They're pretty. I'll give you that.
Does it look like her?
I just want to make sure it's not like a Yorkshire Terrier or something, because then you can have a bigger problem than you can ever imagine.
Yeah. Was your girlfriend blonde?
No, brunette.
That's not her, dude. No, it can't be her.
I know.
It's just impossible. How could she be a brunette and as a human and blonde as a dog? I mean, it's just silly.
Yeah.
All right, Dylan, come on. What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, fess up here. You made the
good call.
You made love line. It was worth.
I want to give you the props you deserve. Come on, it was well done, well executed, well thought out. Good job.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks. here's Jeff. What's up, Jeff?
I wanted to ask Godsmack, what was the craziest fan they have ever dealt with?
The craziest what?
Fan you have ever dealt with.
Fan.
Leg dude?
Oh, yeah, well, for Matt,
leg
I don't know
dude?
If you had one. For me, it was this guy that we were playing the Ozfest 99, and we were on at, like, 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And this dude was jumping around in the pit and trying to, like, flagging me down to the whole show, and I'm singing, trying to perform and do my thing, and he just became a real big distraction. Finally, I stopped the band, and I asked him what was up in front of 20,000 people, and he goes, dude, you got to sign my leg, and pulled his prosthetic leg off from the hip and threw it on stage, full sock, sneaker, everything, from the hip down, and I was like, I jumped back, like, 3 feet and kind of kicked it to the security guard, and... And
did,
then
did
after,
you sign it?
Yeah, we signed it, and he just kind of hopped around in the pit on one leg until he got his leg back.
Oh, that is awesome. So there you go, Jeff.
All right, thanks.
Got your story.
All right, bye.
Wow. Wow, let's see. This is Mike. Whoop. Mike.
Hey.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, not too much. Is Godsmack there?
They're here.
Here.
What's up,
hey.
Dude?
Yeah.
Sick, man. Talking to Sully from Godsmack. Hey, check this out. Godsmack!
You must be Canadian, too.
No, I'm from California.
Oh, cool.
And, Mike?
What's your question,
What's
Mike?
Your question, buddy?
I just wanted to know, like, what's your chemistry like in the studio, and what do you do to prepare, like, for a studio and for your shows?
Two different things. The studio, we just practice a lot when we're writing music to prepare. There's really nothing we do. We just go in there and it becomes a checklist after a while. And the live show, there's a few things we do. We stretch out, we warm up, you know, practice pads for Shannon or vocals for me. I don't know, shot of whiskey.
Yeah. So we used to have wine before the show.
I don't know. It's all different things. We do a little group prayer, and then we hope for the best.
Right on. Hey, do a shot of Johnny Walker for me, man.
I stopped drinking the hard stuff, but Shannon will.
Yeah, I'll do a Johnny Walker Blue for you, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Mike. Right, way to go, buddy. Here is Samuel. Samuel?
Yes.
What's happening, buddy?
I was wondering if it was weird to suck my own penis.
Well, it'd have to be a big penis.
What 13-year-old calls with that question is what I'm asking.
Is he 13?
Yeah.
You know that?
That's what it says here. Wow. Sounds kind of 13. Not only is it weird, but it's weirder that you would call with some weird stuff like that. So what's going on there, Samuel?
Well, I was just wondering if it was weird.
Yeah, it's weird, Samuel. Why would you call with something like that?
I don't know.
All right.
Are you a reincarnated golden retriever? Because that's normal.
No.
Yeah, buddy, it's not the coolest thing to be calling with stuff like that. So
okay, I'm sorry.
Do your homework tonight, all right? Thanks, buddy. Nick.
I will punch my daughter clear in the face if she ever calls one.
I just wanted to
right. What's up?
I just want to say what's up to Godsmack. Love a snake bite as I was going to school. It was like our anthem.
So, oh, voodoo, yeah. Thanks.
Right on. But this is really hard for me, so please don't judge me. And I'm really nervous, but okay. I'm 21, and I was molested by both my brothers when I was like 8.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a sexual experience that really messed up my psychological output for what you should be dating and whatnot. So I had a few series of homosexual experiences as I was growing up, and I'm not gay, and like I know that now, but like I think it really distorted me, and I've been antisocial before, and I had problems with like anger sometimes, and I was just. I did drugs in high school, kind of to run away from the problem.
Sure.
And I was just wondering what kind of treatment is out there, like medications or. I can't talk to guys, like it freaks me out. Like, I'm not gay, but like I can't look a guy in the eyes because it's kind of stayed with me this whole time.
Yeah, I'm sure. What's up with your brothers? Who got to them?
I think one of my oldest brother's friends passed it on to him, and then my brother to my middle brother, and then to me, and just they kind of took away my innocence.
Well, yeah, that kind of trauma really can affect you. It can make you very confused about your sexual orientation.
And then my dad was an alcoholic, and like he was violent to my mom. I mean, like
that's great.
I'm like all kinds of a mess, and I really need some help.
Yeah, why don't you get into some therapy? I mean, there's all kinds of things can be done in terms of helping with post-traumatic stress disorder, straightening out your sexual sort of proclivities, sort of figuring out who you are, and dealing with the trauma. I mean, you may need some EMDR or something like that. There's all kinds of treatments for this now.
Where would I go to find out more about that?
Just any therapist. You're in Arizona. What city are you in?
I'm in Glendale, Arizona.
What's that near?
Tempe,
okay. I mean, so you just need a general psychologist or, you know, a therapist who can just sit down and sort of evaluate things. In fact, you might even start with a psychiatrist so you can evaluate all the available treatment options that are out there and then just go through it and, you know, just commit yourself and get some work done and you start to feel better. I mean, kinds of experiences can be shattering.
Yeah, like I feel like I'm not ever going to be like truly happy or able to walk around in society with my head up.
It's going to be very difficult. Did you say you had a drug history too?
Well, I smoked some pot. I never did like hardcore drugs like heroin.
Did you ever get addicted?
Yeah, like I really liked pot. Like I did it and like every day, and like I dealt it and like to afford my habit. And I'm not a stupid guy. Like I graduated early from school and stuff, but I've lost focus from everything in life, and this is like the only thing I think about.
The thing you can do for free is get involved in some recovery. You'll find a lot of people in recovery with stories like this. I mean, it's a very, very common kind of a thing.
Really?
Not by your brothers necessarily, but sexual abuse in childhood is a very common thing these days. And, you know, confusion around that and the trauma and dealing with feelings as a result, and people go towards drugs and alcohol. I'll tell you what. Excuse. But I think you deserve, you know, a comprehensive kind of an approach. So in addition to 12-step, you ought to see somebody, a psychiatrist or a psychologist, to sit and just chat with these things and explore the kinds of different options that are available out there. Let us talk to Sarah. Sarah, what's up? You're on with Godsmack.
I was wondering what and how I should tell my husband what I'm doing right now.
What are you doing right now?
I'm escorting.
Do you need the money?
Yeah.
Do you have an addiction that you're trying to fuel here?
I don't think so.
Sex addiction?
Could be.
We need the money. I was a stripper for years, and then I had another career, and then I needed the money.
They're ordering soft tacos.
Yeah, I'm going to step out of that car.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
What, is that one of the guys you're escorting?
He's my boss.
Your boss. Nice.
Yeah, your pimp.
What does your husband think you're doing at night?
He thinks I'm taking care of an old man with diabetes, like home health.
Wow. You may be, but...
You know. Well, he is an old man with diabetes.
He wasn't figuring it would be that kind of care.
Man, I don't know. I'd start with finding someone who's going to feed you something better than tacos.
Yeah. So what do I do?
Well, this is a mess, right? Why isn't your husband working, or is he?
He is working. He works full-time, but he's just not making enough money.
What's the money situation? What's the problem?
I had a better job before, and
was
the primary breadwinner. And
what
I
was your job? What kind of job?
I was a nurse.
Oh, go back to nursing. You don't make enough dough being a nurse?
Tons of jobs out there for nursing.
Yeah, I know. I can't work as a nurse right now. I lost my license.
What happened?
I had a contract with the Board of Nursing not to use drugs, and I relapsed.
All right. Tonight is the addiction show. Just on behalf of your manager, we just sort of made that the theme of the night. So this is about addiction. What's your drug of choice?
Opiates.
And, you know, are you a heroin addict?
No, but could be. I just don't have. I have better access because I work in the hospital, so I don't need it.
Well, you don't work in the hospital anymore. So what are you doing?
No. Well, I'm straight now. I'm clean.
Well, you're clean, but you're just doing. You're not clean. You're clean, but you're not sober, and so you're using sex as a way of sort of substituting for that.
That's not true. I'm not having sex.
Oh, you're not having sex with these
not at
the escorts.
All. No,
the escorts.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
What are you doing?
Mostly, I'm robbing people. If you want to know the truth, as soon as they solicit sex, they had signed a contract that says that they forfeit their rights, and I leave. And almost everybody solicits.
Right. Well, that's.
So it's a scam you're running. You're running sort of a scam.
Pretty much, yeah.
Just found a way to make money.
Right. If they're good, if they don't solicit, then, you know, we might do, like, a striptease for them.
We might?
Yeah, me and another girl. We usually run it with two girls, so for safety reasons.
And what does your sponsor say about this behavior?
She doesn't want me to tell my husband right now because it fits into the eighth step where you're not to be honest if you're going to inflict harm on somebody else. But I'm living a lie.
What? It's a little counterintuitive, but go ahead and follow your sponsor's direction. I'm just delighted you're in the program. I'm glad you're sober right now. This is a very strange thing you've got yourself into. You're not having sex. You're just scamming people. You're scamming people who are criminals, by the way.
Right.
We're doing things against the law.
Right.
Is, to me, I just worry about it being a little bit dangerous. You might bump into the wrong guy one night, and that's it for you.
Some guy may come back. They can run into you again. I mean, you know.
Right. I mean, that's obviously a concern of everybody.
There's no way you could get your license back. You couldn't throw yourself on the... Don't you have, like, a diversion board or something there?
Yeah, I already went in front of the board, and they suspended it for 2 years, but for good compliance with the Board of Nursing, you know, with i.e. clean drug tests and making meetings and sponsorship and aftercare and all that kind
all
of
right,
stuff.
All
I
right,
get it back in October.
All right, so you're doing what you're supposed to do. They didn't prohibit this little loophole you found. I mean, it's not a great idea, Sarah. And you follow your sponsor's direction right now. I'm just delighted you're sober. I'm glad you're following direction. You're not all the way there yet. Sobriety is also about living a simple life and an honest life, too. Rigorous honesty, remember that?
Yeah, I know.
So just keep, but again, we're not there. You know, your sponsor, you're following direction. She's sort of helping you make decisions. I'm sure she has a plan for you to be rigorously honest eventually, but...
And that's the thing with my boss. He's got 23 years sober in the program, and he's really pushing me to tell my husband.
So
sponsors. Follow your sponsor's direction, okay?
Okay.
That's the one thing I can say. Good luck, Sarah.
Okay.
Quite a story.
Okay.
Wow. Okay, good luck. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Yeesh. Tim, what's happening?
What's going on?
Here we go. You're on the air. Godsmack's on here. Godsmack 4 is the CD. Go get it. Number one on the Billboard Top 200 album. And your question. Just, it's going to fall on something good. I can feel it.
Yeah. Okay. So I was having sex with my girlfriend, and she was on top, and it was vaginal intercourse, and she pooped, and I didn't understand why.
Godsmack 4. Sully and Shannon are here. CD is Godsmack 4. Number one. Look at your manager. Look at him. He's pacing and howling and carrying on.
That would be quite embarrassing for the both of you.
It happens, Sam. It happens.
Was she Brazilian?
No.
It happens.
Oh, okay. But how does it happen? I don't understand.
How does it happen?
Yeah, like, why does it happen?
I would guess that everything go when
loses control,
in that orgasmic place.
Like, she has, like, a lot of, like, she probably has, like, a...
I know that's a compliment in some country. You did your job, put it that way.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Oh, man, we got characters calling tonight. I just wanted to ask... Wait, Tim, don't go away. Tim, you there? Tim. Oh, damn. Spicoli revisited. All right, let's talk. Let's get a nice softball. Let's get a band question, okay?
All right.
All right, Sherry, what's the question?
Hi, Sully. I just have one quick question.
Okay.
I heard, actually, I read on a website that you were practicing Wicca, and I was wondering if that was true or not, because my husband and I were thinking about going into paganism and all that stuff. So I was just wondering if it was true or what.
It is true. I've been practicing Wiccan for over a decade, and actually more than that. And I think it's really up to you, whatever you think spiritually works for you. I don't consider myself a religious person. I consider myself more of a spiritual person. But, you know, it's really all about you and what you guys feel is right and what works for you. I think that's the, you know, that's the path you follow.
When you say you practice it, what does that mean exactly? Because is it with other people?
That and by myself. It's a religion that I actually stumbled onto it through reading books and stuff. And
Earthborn religion.
It's very similar to Native America.
Yeah.
The Indian beliefs and that kind of stuff. And I just found from reading books what I thought was this, like, demonic kind of thing, because it's been labeled as that since, you know, Catholicism and all that stuff.
It turned out to be pagan. I mean, it's kind of pagan,
yeah,
but it's not. It's not Santeria or something. No.
Yeah, they don't believe in demons and devils and hell and all that stuff. It doesn't even exist in that religion, so therefore you can't worship something that doesn't exist. It's just been a misconception over the years because through Christianity and stuff that's taken over, you know, they believed in what they believed, and what they didn't understand about these religions they condemned as evil, and, you know.
Well, and then people, I've talked to other Wiccans over the years on this show, and they say they're sort of harnessing powers of nature, sort of the way they think about it. Is that,
yeah, well, right? it's a very nature-based religion. You know, there's a lot of them like that.
If I could, any advice I would give is, like Sully said, he picked up books, and, you know, just look into it, and you can find, you know, occult sections in any tower bookstore or whatever, and read up on it, man. There's all kinds of stuff out there.
All right, Sherry.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to say thank you to Godsmack. I've been a big fan since when you guys first started. You guys are just, like, awesome. I've been to, like, almost every single show you guys done in the Bay Area, and I can't wait to see you guys again.
Thank you. We'll be back in September.
Here's Lindsay.
Oh, hi. I love you guys. Listen to you in high school. My question was, my boyfriend's 23. We've been dating for, like, 9 months. In the past 2 months, he butt the bed, like, twice. Like, we weren't drinking or anything. I'm just wondering, is that, like, a biological thing? Should I take him to the doctor? Or, like, is that, like, a mental thing? Is he having a weird dream?
Bladder.
Hard to know, Lindsay. Is he have a history of bedwetting when he was a kid?
No, we talked about it. He said it, like, it wasn't a history or anything. He said,
never,
like,
had this before. All of a sudden, is he on medication?
No medication at all. Nothing like that.
Doing drugs?
No, we don't do any drugs.
Is it, you know, you guys have sex, and then he does that later in the night?
One time we may have had sex, like, earlier, but the other time, no, we were both tired and just passed out.
Weird. So, because I heard it's like kind of related to diabetes. Is that true?
Well, excessive urinate, you know, the sugar, when it goes up high, causes what's called an osmotic burden, and so it pulls fluid out in your kidneys, and so you'll pee a lot, and you'll be thirsty a lot. But that's all day long. That's not just at night.
Yeah, just like a night.
And even then, people are just getting up all night and peeing a lot. They're usually not wetting the bed.
Yeah.
So, I definitely have...
He said one time he was, like, dreaming he was peeing, and then he woke up and he had. So...
That happens. I mean, but that's usually guys who've been drinking a bit.
Yeah, and that's usually one, maybe twice. It's not recurring.
Right. Does he have anything else wrong with his sleep? Does he snore excessively or become apneic or anything like that?
No, he doesn't snore that often.
Okay. I do agree that it should see a doctor just to sort of see if anything metabolic is going on. Even things like spinal cord tumor, very weird things can cause this. So just to be sure, nothing some interesting or unusual going on. Let's hear another Godsmack song, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, I think we're going to hear Living in Sin. Why don't you send us out?
First song on the record. It's got an intro that Sully put together. Has his daughter and my daughter speaking on it. It's nice.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Living in Sin, Godsmack. Sully and Shannon here with us tonight. Nice, guys.
Thank you.
The beginning. You're saying you're going to play a video maybe to open that up and when you put
yeah, it. Yeah, we're thinking about doing some really creepy, cool-looking video stuff for that because awesome. It's kind of creepy.
Feeling. Yeah, yeah.
And it's always a little creepy when you hear a little girl doing a, you know, a prayer or something. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Big with the church bells tolling in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to take another little break here. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Godsmack. Dr. Drew, we'll be right back. Everybody, Godsmack in here with us on Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. The CD is called Godsmack 4. They will be on a North American tour beginning in August and...
September.
But I heard Canada and Alaska in August and then...
June.
June and Canada, Alaska.
June is Canada or Alaska. July is Japan. Maybe.
Wherever.
South America, Mexico, Hawaii, that
September,
kind of
back to the stateside.
September, right. States.
Fantastic. This is now Jessica. What's happening, Jessica? Oh, wrong. This is Jessica.
Hello?
Hey there.
Hey. Oh, my God. Okay. I love you guys. You guys are awesome, first of all.
Thank
especially,
you.
Especially Rob. He's hot. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm sorry. Now, on to my...
If you say so.
Seriously, super hot. I went to see you guys when you played with Metallica, and I wasn't a fan back then, but seeing you guys live, totally... Whoo, awesome.
Oh, yay, thank you. That was what we were trying to accomplish, was to recruit new fans to the Metallica audience.
Like, me, like all of my friends, we went to go see Metallica, and like, we had heard about you before, but never really fans. But now, we can't wait until you come back.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Let's help spread the word.
I love hearing that. Thank you.
Yay. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm so nervous from talking to you guys, but... Okay, a couple of weeks ago, I was on my computer, and you know on your desktop, you can hide the shortcuts? Well,
yeah.
I was looking for my resume, and I couldn't find it through any of my documents, so I was like, maybe I hid it for some reason. So I unhid the shortcuts, and I found a video on my computer, and it's really disturbing me, and... I really don't know what to do about it. It was like a video of my roommate. It was like a sex video of my roommate that he apparently sent to his girlfriend who lives somewhere else in the world.
You mean he is with her in this video?
No. He masturbated in the video and was directing it to her.
Well.
But the really nasty thing is, like... He used my computer and my webcam.
Ooh.
And,
Does he not have a webcam?
Huh? Excuse me?
Does he not have a webcam?
Well, I did, but I threw it away because it really grossed me out, and I just pretended that
it
broke.
Does he not have a webcam?
No, he doesn't even have a computer.
Like, all right, how else is he going to do it except with your computer then?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's just mostly harmless.
I mean, very romantic, I guess.
Well, my point is that, like, he was my friend... I guess he is my friend, but it's just really, really creepy that, like, when I wasn't home one day, he went onto my computer and used my
Listen
webcam.
To this. Has he ever asked you if he could borrow your computer before?
No.
No? Well, then he shouldn't have done that without asking you.
But I was going to say, well, that's what he did when he borrowed it that one time.
Little Windex, it'll be all good.
Yeah. Well, Jessica, and how
He's
close...
He's probably done it hundreds of times and just never recorded it, though. This is the one time you found out because he has video... proof, but he's probably done this numerous times.
So,
thanks for that nice thought, Ashley. You're probably right. What's that?
Should I like confront him or just like finish out the contract?
It's kind of complicated, isn't it? This is your friend. You do live together. How long is the contract for?
Until August. We've lived together for 2 years now.
And you have locks on your door and you're separated and everything, right? You have to worry about him sort of...
Well,
making you feel uncomfortable.
I live in a two-bedroom apartment. Two girls in one room, two boys in the other room.
Okay.
But we really don't lock anything. We're all pretty cool with each other. But I didn't want to be that cool with each other.
My.
Well, I think maybe your responsibility is just to address it with him and not keep it inside.
I kind of think you're right. It's going to be weird. How do you think he's going to react?
I don't know. It's like really gross.
It's gross. Do you think you're gonna feel better or worse if he's sort of mortified when he finds out about this?
I guess worse.
Worse. So he's likely to feel sort of extremely embarrassed and mortified. It may make you feel better just to know that he's not insolent and sort of maintaining bravado about it, because that would be sort of a bad guy.
Yeah.
But if he's kind of mortified.
Yeah, I don't think he's a bad guy, or I don't think he would want to make me feel uncomfortable, but I just don't want him doing stuff like that again.
Well, maybe write him a little note or I agree with Sully what he said about talking if you can, but ultimately it's about just maintaining your boundaries and your spaces. It's definitely an abnormal circumstance for four people in two bedrooms.
I think how you approach him will dictate how he reacts, too.
Yeah, well, she's...
You know what I mean?
You see how she's going to go.
I know it's a weird thing, but I'm saying you can say things without actually saying them and just say, listen, you know, it's really about your maturity about this and addressing it as an adult.
So we're grown-ups here. I don't want you to use my computer for anything with your girlfriend.
Yeah, just say, listen, I was looking for some stuff. I found something on there, and we don't need to really discuss the details, but it's my computer, and I'm a little bit weirded out by it.
Right, so. Don't say, ew, gross.
Yeah, when I get a little weirded out when you say, gross. Okay, Joe, what's happening? Joe?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much there.
Like a Joe, big fan.
Thank you, sir. What's your question?
Yeah, I have a question for you. Every time I go down on my girl, she has sort of a smell and sort of a taste. Not say like in the beginning, more towards like, you know, when you go inside, sort of like a sour taste to it. I've told her about it. She said she went to the doctor, she got a pedicure, but she didn't mention that. And I wanted to see what was all that about. Is that contagious, or can I get that? Would I start to smell? You know.
And you've never run across this particular experience before, yes?
Honestly, no.
Gentlemen, what do you think?
Well, have you ever gone down on another woman, or just this lady?
No, I've gone down on another one. Never.
Oh well, that's like just that. How it tastes, then, bro.
No, she didn't have it when I used to go down on her like that. This is recent. This just happened recent.
Something she acquired.
Oh, yeah, like during time, I guess.
Well, during time?
From the beginning, when we started having sex, whatever.
With the passage of time. I see. I think you meant during her time. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, all right. Joe, the most common reason for a change in smell or taste is a bacterial overgrowth in the vagina. She could just call her doctor and say, look, I think I have a vaginal infection or a vaginitis. And there's a cream they can give her and takes care of it. They can try that and see if that clears it up, okay? There's also... What?
I'm sorry. There's not contagious. I won't get anything like that?
You can harbor it. You won't get any symptoms from it, really. There's also something called Trichomonas that does something similar to that. Those smells usually pretty bad from that one. And both these are all things that you can sort of harbor in your penis and give back to her. But for the most part, once you clear it up, that's about it. This is John.
Hello.
Hey, John.
How you doing?
We're good.
I have a question. I think that my dad is possibly gay, and I wanted to know if you could give me any, like a 1-800 number or something.
Your manager's having the best time tonight. He's march around there just laughing his ass off. Look at that. I've never seen anybody laugh so hard at tragic calls.
Wes enjoys life.
I guess so.
He really does.
Radio's not even on in there. He's just laughing, looking in here, laughing.
Fan of life.
John, what makes you think your dad is gay?
Okay. Obviously, you know, he was married, but that was like 20 years ago to my mom.
Yeah.
And he's had a couple girlfriends since then, but nothing more than like a few months. And, he has this friend over, a guy friend. And they sit there and they watch movies together, and me and my girlfriend aren't allowed to come over during that period of time. Hmm. So that kind of like...
Do they live together?
Huh?
Do they live together?
No.
It's just a friend that comes over and visits.
Yeah.
Do you know what kind of movies they watch?
No.
Streisand musical comedy. What?
I don't have a clue.
Well, would it bother you if he was gay?
No. If he is... Or, you know, I'd like to, help him.
Would bother you?
Oh, yeah.
And what would you do? How would you handle this?
I don't know.
Maybe you could simply ask him.
Well, hold on. I'm just curious how Sully would do. Because let's just sort of explore this a little bit. So for you, if you were, you'd be, how you would bother you, how would you handle it?
If it would bother
me? No. I'm not, Sully was saying if it were his dad, it would really bug him.
If it was my dad, it would definitely throw me for a loop, and I would be very uncomfortable at first, but I would have to find a way to deal with it. I don't really know how I would deal with it at first.
Would you want to just, like, let it be and just say, whatever, it's him? Or would you need to, in order to maintain the relationship with your dad, you'd have to kind of,
I don't know,
like,
man.
Would
it's,
you have to confront him?
Dad.
Or air it?
Asking him?
It's not confronting, because it's his life, but it's about airing the feeling so you can maintain your relationship.
Oh, plus, you know, it's also, for me, it's, you know, it's a male role model kind of issue and that kind of thing, I would think. Maybe that's what would go through my head. I haven't been there. I don't have that situation going on. But I would think, for me, you know, I was raised on the streets and in a very tough environment, so I think maybe I would have, I don't know if it's an ego issue.
Your dad's still around?
Oh, yeah.
And do you still have a relationship with him?
Just recently, like over the last maybe 4 or 5 years, we really started to rehabilitate.
Where'd you grow up?
It was rough for a while. I grew up a little bit north of Boston.
Whereabouts?
Lawrence.
Lawrence, Mass. And did you... Isn't there a school there? Isn't there where Andover is or something? Is Lawrence up there?
Andover's right next to it. But Andover is a little bit, you know, cleaner cut.
Rich
town. Lawrence is like the Bronx.
and I bet you went over there and sort of did things to Andover to earn.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And was your dad abusive or something? Like physically, you know, tough?
Yeah.
Physically.
He's not a big guy, but he was a little bit abusive and verbally, like really... You know, kind of cut you down and stuff. He was raised in Sicily, real old school Italian guy. You know, and I mean, his dad like would tie him to the table and whip him with extension cords for getting a bad report card or whatever.
Oh
so
my God!
It was, you know, it kind
of so
all
some of that has
down.
To trickle down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're gonna have any trouble containing that with your own kids?
You know, hey, I've been trying to work on myself every single day, and I don't ever feel like I have the need to hit my child or anything like that. And if I ever started to get those feelings, I definitely would go seek help immediately.
So it's come full circle where that's out of your sort of heritage.
I, for me, it's like I want to do exactly opposite of what he did.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, I have this great relationship with my daughter, and she, you know, we have a lot of fun together, and I don't.
Are you going to have more kids?
Eventually, I would think.
Shannon, you more kids?
No, we're done.
That's it.
Yeah, the wife and I are all set.
All right, let's get back to John then. So, John, he hangs out with this guy. It's kind of bothering you. How would you react if he says, yeah, I'm gay?
Well, that's fine. You know, if he's gay, then, I mean, I don't know. I'd like to know.
Well, then tell him. Ask him. I mean, if you take it from the standpoint of, you're an important relationship for me. I need to sort of understand you and who you are, and I want to maintain the relationship and not have a bunch of secrets between us. I just got this funny question to ask you. It's fine if you are, but let's just, you know, stay in keep a rigorously honest relationship going here. Who's that buddy here? Who's that friend?
They've been friends since, like, junior high.
Well, maybe they're just friends, but, you know, you ask him why he doesn't date then if he says he's not gay, right?
Well... He says he doesn't trust women.
Have you already asked him?
Well, yeah. You know,
he said he's not gay?
He's gone on dates and stuff, but he hasn't actually had, like, a real relationship anything longer than, like, a month or two since I was in, like, junior high.
What's he doing for work?
He doesn't do anything right now. He's actually on disability.
For what?
Why?
Yeah.
He had something wrong with his foot. He just had surgery on it.
Is he taking a lot of painkillers?
No, he doesn't like to take stuff like that.
All right, because it's another reason people just sort of hang out. They're just busy doing drugs all day. No, it's, I mean, they're just pharmaceutical drugs, just things they think the doctor told them to take, but they don't have much of a drive to do anything except wait for the next pill.
Right.
I guess the strange thing would be he's asked them not to come over and visit while he has his buddy over.
Whatever. I mean, John seems awfully uptight, doesn't he?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. I think it's really cool, though, that he's willing to accept it, and I think that's all the more reason why he should just address it and get it off his mind and move on.
Gihan?
Yeah?
What's happening?
Actually, the thing about the voice, like, my voice, like, in person, and, like, it gets annoying, you know, over the phone, and it sounds like I'm 10 or 7, so I was, like, wondering, like, what's up with that, because, I'm in a screaming van, and I want to know if it has something to do with me yelling a lot.
No, usually when women get sexually abused at a young age or physically abused.
Well, it was never abused. Yeah, never.
The other thing is to learn to sort of express yourself more like an adult and less like a 7-year-old. Your use of language is also very primitive. It really is.
I'm not, like, disrespectful or something over the radio, you know?
It's what?
I don't want to sound, like, all disrespectful over the radio.
You're not saying disrespectful, but you're sounding like a 10-year-old.
But I'm not. See, that's my problem.
No, I don't mean just the tonal quality of your voice. I mean just even the way you use language. Yeah. We got to take a break, Johan. Sorry about that. The more common thing is that, and we hear this all the time, is people, you know, the whole Marilyn Monroe voice? That's actually like a little girl's voice. And so we on this show, we listen to, all we do is we hear these voices all night, and you hear somebody talking, you listen to them, and they sound like they're 7 years old. And you went, it's like the 24-year-old, why do they sound 7? Well, lo and behold, when they were 7, they were sexually abused. And for some reason, it seemed to arrest their development in some way, and they sound like they still did when they were that age when things happened.
Wow.
It's awful. And I was still very suspicious about Gihan, but I got to say there was something else about her voice just than the sounding like a little kid. It was sort of the language, too. Anyway. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Godsmack is in here. Godsmack 4 is the album. Go out and get it. Can they get it online now? Is there a website? Yeah, godsmack.com. Can they buy the CD through that?
I don't know, but probably.
Manager?
I haven't looked. No, it hasn't been out long enough.
Can't get it. Just go get it somewhere. Yeah, get it on Amazon anywhere.
Go to Tower Records. Get off your couch.
And we will take a break. Be right back. Hey, we've got time for a few more calls here on Loveline. Godsmack is in. You want to take that one? Too heavy? How about a band call? Babette. Hey, Babette.
Hello?
What's your question?
Hi. I really didn't have a question. I just wanted to call and say that I really think you guys are awesome. And
thank you.
I just went out and picked up your album a couple days ago, and I've been listening to it, like, every day nonstop. It's awesome.
Thank you.
And,
we love hearing that.
There's also one thing I really wanted to tell you, that I really appreciate you guys and what you do through your music. There was about 2 years where I fell into a really deep depression, and the only music I really ever listened to was yours. And I feel that it kind of helped me. And I also wanted some advice. I don't really have any friends that are interested in the Wiccan religion like I am, and there's really nobody around here I can talk to about it. So I pretty much just try to learn out of the books and what.
I've got one here to talk to you.
Well, I just wanted to know if you had, like, any information, like, what I could do.
You're in Seattle, yes?
Around Seattle. It's this little town.
There's a lot of communities in that area. You just need to go and walk the streets a little bit and visit some stores. That's a really good way to start meeting people, is go to some, like, do they have stuff like pyramid books there and things like that?
No, the only time I really ever go to Seattle is for concerts.
Well, just even in the area, that's a really good way for just most people to start finding people that are into the same thing, as going into stores that, you know, that represent that kind of vibe. And
Well, as I look around, there's one place in Bellingham, the Magical Garden. I like to go there. They have books and...
Yeah, and you know what? Talk to the employees there. Talk to the people. They'll turn you on to people who are into similar things or whatever. Or, you know, there's always the internet, too.
That's true. You can
go to certain places and chat rooms and meet people through that. And it's, you know, I think it's a really positive kind of thing.
And here's Paul. Paul, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I had a question for Godsmack. I know that Shannon is not, like, the original drummer of the band. I was wondering if you could tell me how you guys met and how you became a member of the band.
I met Shannon back in the late 80s, actually. He was touring with a band called Wrathchild America, and I was playing in a cover band / original band, and we ended up doing a couple of shows together and hit it off as friends, and we just always stayed in touch. And then when the opportunity came around, fast forward 20 years later,
nice.
He was my first phone call, and that's that.
Now, quick, this is Alex. Alex, what's happening?
Hey, I have kind of a problem with my dad here.
Yeah.
I want to say, like, Godsmack, you guys are a great band. I mean, you guys got me into heavy metal. I've been listening to you guys since around sixth grade, and I got the new CD when it first came out. And, well, my question was, I know I'm just 14, but there's been, like, a lot of problems that's been going on at my house. Like, everyone says that it's kind of like, everyone says it's normal, right? But I don't really tell them fully what's been happening.
Yeah.
Kind of has to do with my dad.
Is he beating you up a little bit?
No, he's threatened me plenty of times.
Yeah.
But, it's more of a verbal. My mom, she would slap me every now and then.
Okay.
And, like, out here where I live, it's not nice. It's just out here in Sanger. Well, I live in Fresno, but I go to Sanger, and it has to do with, like, a lot of gangs, and it's not quite helping either. And all the stuff, it's, like, really hard out here.
What, Alex, how can we help you? What's the question?
Well, I don't know, like, I have a friend, he's older, he tells me to call child services, and...
I agree.
Well, the cops out here, they're not... You'd think that they would help, but they wouldn't. They're cops.
All right, what do you like doing?
Music.
All right, what do you think, guys? Form a band, just get Keith out of your dad's crosshairs, and...
Yeah, I just wonder if... you sound like you're being a little bit secretive right now. You kind of...
Yeah.
Afraid?
Talking low because you're hiding somewhere so he doesn't hear you on the phone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We actually have to pop up in 5 seconds.
Are you in any kind of gang activities and stuff?
Well, no. Kind of no and yes. Because out here in Sanger, it's either.
I'd say stay clear of it all, man. Drugs, alcohol, gangs, violence, all that stuff. Stick with music. If you have an art, God bless you with a talent, man. Just go pursue that. And
Don't look back.
It'll be rewarding, trust me.
Stay out of your dad's crosshairs.
Everybody else,
stay focused.
Yeah, you know, if they need to fall, let them fall. You just, you know, stay on the right path.
We'll be right back. It's Godsmack. Go out and get that CD. It's Godsmack 4. CD came out last week. Also, check them out in September. And also, if you're in Canada, in June, I guess, right? If you're in Alaska, we have Alaska affiliates, too. In June, check it out. Where in Alaska?
Anchorage and...
Fairbanks.
Fairbanks.
Right, we're Anchorage, so check it out, please. And let's see. We've got Danny Bonaducci coming in here tomorrow night. Jeff Probst next week. Hoobastank after that. Until then, this is Dr. Drew saying good night and stay well.